go. I have a warning for the sermon that some of y'all, I say some of the ladies, y'all may not like this, and you may not even agree with what Jesus says. So now that I got your attention, Luke chapter 10, verse 38. This is the, I say classic. I mean, it's the story of it's Mary and Martha. I say story, it's the history, but it's Mary and Martha. Martha is in the kitchen. Stuff. And Mary is just wasting her time, just sitting in the living room with Jesus, just killing time. And Martha is mad and, you know, comes to Jesus and says, "Why?" Hey. All right. Maybe it doesn't like the sermon. So Martha, wow, that's pretty loud, isn't it? Is that cool? That's okay? All right. It's going to be loud. So Martha is, you know, she's working. She's busy. And Mary is just killing time in the living room with Jesus. And Martha is frustrated. And so she goes to Jesus and she says, "Hey, can you get on Mary about helping? You know, we got stuff to do around here." And Mary, or Jesus says, he scolds Martha. I mean, you can just imagine that, you know, a lot of you are probably thinking you're identifying with Martha, and then you get scolded by Jesus for doing what you're doing. And so Martha tells Jesus to get on to Mary, and Jesus says, "Well, she's chosen the good thing, and she's chosen something that's going to last." And there's no record of what Martha says after that. So I don't know how she responds to it. Yeah, you could tell me what you think she said. Yeah, let's go ahead and put the camera right there. So you get the idea. This is what's happening. This is what's happening. It's that scenario. Mary is just at Jesus' feet, and you've probably maybe heard some sermons about being at Jesus' feet, and you know it's real. It's you know, spiritual, glorious, you know, you need to be at Jesus' feet and all that. And it's not when the Lord explains why Mary has chosen something good. It's not that she's just sitting at his feet. It's that she's actually listening to what he's saying. And Martha is understandably busy with other things. But being busy with other things, she's not listening to what Jesus is saying. There is a theme. Let me just read this to you. It's a few verses. It's Luke chapter 10, starting in verse 38. And it says, "It came to pass, as they went, that he entered into a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha received him into her house." Hospitality, that's good. "And she had a sister called Mary, which also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word." That's going to be the thing. She heard his word. "But Martha was cumbered about much serving and came to him and said, 'Lord, does not thou care that my sister hath left me to serve alone? Bid her therefore that she help me." Get her to help me. "Jesus answered and said unto her, 'Martha, Martha, thou art careful and troubled about many things, But one thing is needful, and Mary has chosen the good part, which shall not be taken from her. And then Martha got mad and stormed off. But that's not in the, that's not what's said. But that's probably what happened. So the whole scenario revolves around Mary listening to Jesus, hearing what he's saying. And in contrast, Martha just too busy to hear what Jesus is saying. And it's presented as this is a unique opportunity that you have, Martha and Mary, you have to listen to what Jesus Christ is talking about. Now, that's the scenario. That's how this is set up. What I want to talk to you about this morning is the art of listening. And not just, you know, it's going to directly apply to listening to the Lord, but it also has some application to just listening to people. Let's deal with some general things first. By the time you get to this point in Jesus' ministry, there have been several commands already and several instructions that Jesus Christ is the voice you need to be hearing. You got a record of the Mount Transfiguration, all that. You got this all through Jesus' ministry. He would ask, for instance, Peter, who you've been say that I am? You're the Christ. Peter says, you're the Christ, you're the Son of God. And Peter would say, you have the words of eternal life. Where else are we going to go? Stuff like that. And so all through, and I don't want to deal with all these verses, I'm just going to sum it all up for you. But there has been a commandment for the Jews, first of all. You've heard Moses. You've heard Moses. Well, some of you have heard Moses. Some of you have created a religion from Moses, but you haven't really ever heard Moses. But generally, it was hear Moses. Now, when the New Testament's introduced, Jesus Christ says, you've heard it said, Matthew 5, you've heard it said this way. I say to you this. You've heard it said this way. I say to you this. And he doesn't negate what's said. He almost puts more emphasis on the heart and the spirit of the person. For instance, you've heard it said, don't commit murder. Well, I'm telling you, if you're angry with your brother without a cause, you've already got that in your heart, and that's the problem. That's the stuff I've come to deal with, the problems with your heart. And so the Lord doubles down, but he's the voice that comes after Moses, but he's actually the voice. He's the one that everyone is supposed to hear. And so when Jesus Christ preaches, he said, you heard it said, but I say unto you this, and so on and so forth. You got the Sermon on the Mount. At the very end of that sermon, Jesus says, whoever hears what I say and does it, I will liken him to someone who built their house on a rock. Meaning the words that are coming out of my mouth, what I'm saying to you, if you'll listen and you'll apply it, I will liken you to someone who built their house on a rock. Paul picks up on it in 1 Corinthians 3. He says, there's no other foundation that anybody can lay but than that already laid. It's Jesus Christ. So this is the foundation. This is the rock. Hearing the words of Jesus Christ, there's the act of hearing, and that's one thing. You hear the sounds, but then there's the art of listening. What is he talking about? What is he saying? And this is what Mary is she's concerned with. She wants to know what is Jesus saying. And so the Lord, there's this divine commandment which we talked about to hear Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus himself, characterizes what Mary's done. And he says a couple things. He says, number one, what Mary's doing is needful. This is what you have to do. You're going to have to listen to my voice. Number two, he says, she's chosen something good. I mean, not that what you're doing, Martha, is sinful or whatever, but there's a priority here. There's a divine priority that you need to listen to what Jesus Christ is saying. You need to tune your ears to that because he's the voice now. He's the one with the instruction. He's the one with the edification, the encouragement. He's the one with the revelation. So the Lord characterizes what Mary does as it's needful. These words of life are required. You know, without light, you can't see. Without hearing Jesus Christ, you can't live according to the way God wants you to live. He says it's good. You're going to feed your soul with this. You know, man shall not live by bread alone, by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God, things like that, which was actually something Moses said in Deuteronomy. You find the will of God, which is life eternal and good things in this voice. Jesus Christ himself would define people by who hears him. He would say, my sheep hear my voice and they follow me. Why? Because I'm the shepherd. If there's other sheep that aren't of this flock, they don't hear me. They don't listen. But my sheep hear my voice. So there's this theme throughout. Moses, you've had Moses. Moses provides a shadow that points to, you know, it's like a road sign that says this way, and it points to Jesus Christ. And now you have the voice. Now you have the one that you're looking for. Jesus says what Mary's doing is needful, it's good, it's eternal. She's doing something that's not going to be taken away from her. This is long-lasting what she's doing. And so all of that said, you may still disagree with Jesus that, you know, he got on to Martha. But this is where this is going in this description. So what is it about Mary and the listening? Well, there's a few things that I've noticed in this, and even in my own just personal life and in the last, I don't know, probably a few years, particularly pastoring, but learning to listen to the Lord. And not just go over the Bible with stuff that I, you know, just lay my template over the Bible, and then I just kind of get sort of nuanced, you know, little things, but nothing really life-changing. It's just like I've already got it kind of figured out and all that. Well, all that stuff is kind of gone away. And it's been refreshing to come to the Bible and learn and actually hear what God's saying. And learn and see a lot of unity in this. That's one of the most interesting things I would say about the Bible is you've got all of these, and people like want to discredit it with you know, there's so many different authors and so much time. When you understand what's being said, there is so much unity to this whole thing. There's no way some man could be responsible for this. There is a way some man could be responsible for something like the Quran or something like that. It's a book written 20 years time, something like that. But when century after century, people are picking up the same narrative and explaining the same things, maybe in greater detail, and it's the same thing, and then out comes, out of this nation comes this Messiah. This is the fruit. This is the seed that we've all been looking for. There's something to that. There's just, and that's one aspect of this book that's just, it's supernatural. It's different than any other, you know, college textbook or whatever book you can find. You know, these books will change over time and get new college textbooks every year, stuff like that. This is a very interesting, unique book. It's very continuous. There's unity in it. And seeing the same story told over and over, or aspects of that story, just understanding why these things are being said the way they're said. It's been a really, really, I don't know, just a really fun journey through all this. So I kind of in introspection, think about my own life, but then think about Mary in this scenario. And what is it that makes someone hear versus make somebody actually listen? Because that's a difference. Some of you hear the sound out of my voice right now, but there's no comprehension of where we're going with this. And there's not really a desire to figure out that either. And that's, you know, whatever it's we all do things like that. First of all, I see this in Mary's life, and you may have experienced some of this too. But Mary understands simply that she needs to hear the Lord. She has to hear him. Kind of like what Peter said, what we alluded to earlier. Peter says, look, you have the words of eternal life. Where else are we supposed to go? When you ask us if we're going to follow you, we don't know where else to go because you have the words. What you're saying is light. It's direction. It's stuff that transforms people's lives and hearts and gives them the right perspective on life. So Mary understands this. She needs to hear the Lord. If some of you are honest this morning about this, you might say this, I need to hear the Lord. But when is the last time the Lord actually, you heard from him and it affected your life in such a way that you turned from some dark spot in your life to the light? I think what you'll find is we keep hearing the sounds of the Bible, but we're not actually hearing what's being said by the author. Mary understands, I need to hear him. I need to listen. I need to, what is this communication? It is, there's a lot of steps in it, but it's, if I'm going to communicate with you, it starts with what's in my heart, and it travels to my mouth. And it kind of, you know, filters through my brain. Then it comes out of my mouth in some form. And then it enters your ears. And then you process it. And then maybe it goes down into your heart. That's communication. Moving from one heart to another heart. And this is what the Lord is trying to do. He's trying to communicate his heart to people. He's trying to communicate his will, his understanding. I mean, his understanding is it's reality. It's what it is. And Mary understands this. So she's humble in that she knows she needs to hear what the Lord has to say. God's words, these words aren't magic spells. They're not magic spells. They are light to change who you are by changing your behaviors and your perspectives and your heart and your motives on things. That's what the light of God's words are supposed to do. It's not a sort of a imaginary change. The Lord is looking for a real change. He's trying to give you perspective. He's trying to give you the right motivations about things and how, I mean, different scenarios in life. And Mary understands. She needs to hear. She needs to hear. I say they're not magic spells because the point is that the information is supposed to act on your will. You're supposed to respond to it, but you're not going to respond if you don't hear what's being said. So Mary understands this. Listening, hearing brings about change. Learning to listen and being heard brings about change. It's very interesting how this works. And change is what, and this probably is the problem in a lot of our cases. Because hearing and listening brings about change, most of us may not want to change. And that's a hindrance to actually hearing. So while you say, I need to hear, the reality is, I probably need to hear, but I don't really want to hear. I don't want the change that's going to be expected of my life. I'm not interested in that. And I'm probably just voicing maybe what's in our hearts right now, some of us. Think about your own life. Many of us may prove this morning that you've never actually listened to the Lord, because when you examine your own life, nothing has ever really changed in accordance with what he said. Maybe you grew up in church and you've just been a generally conservative person and has a Bible and sometimes references it and sometimes hangs around church and stuff like that. But when it comes to hearing God and Him actually giving light into your life, when you examine your life, and I think about this with my own life, when's the last time you actually heard God say something and it affected change in your life? And I say that because many of you prove you've never listened to the Lord because nothing in your life has actually changed in accordance with what He said. No change means you're not listening. Surely, if you believe this is the Creator and His voice, surely He has some wisdom that might change your life a little bit. Surely you didn't come into this world having it all figured out and that's just going to tote a Bible around. So I'm sure there's got to be places, unless you're just so arrogant to think that you've got it figured out, surely there are places where there is more wisdom. I would say there's more wisdom in here just by virtue of how many smart people and intelligent people have written some of this stuff, but that's not what we believe it is. This is the Word of God. This isn't just intelligent people giving advice. This is reality giving advice. And surely that has to collide with some of our life, unless we've already got it figured out. So what is Mary doing? She's humble. She says, dude, I need to hear what He's saying. I need to hear this. You know, some of us read the Bible, and again, examine your own life with this. Some of you read the Bible to feel better, not to hear. That's an itching ear, meaning, you know, I feel bad. I don't want to feel depressed. Let me read a psalm not to feel depressed. That is, I don't know why you would read a psalm to not feel depressed sometimes. Some of those psalms are rough. But that is, I got an itch that you need to scratch. And you're still not hearing what's being said. You're just scratching the itch. I feel bad. I want to feel good. I'm going to read a verse that makes me feel good. That's how probably most people read the Bible. You know what that is? That's not hearing. There's a lot of problems. Just think about this. You take any book. I don't want to labor this point, but any book. And this is why the Bible is in a book form, because it's supposed to be read like a book. It's not a magic potion thing. It's a book. Read it. And you take any book and, you know, I don't know, Herman Melville or something, you know, Moby Dick or something like that. And nobody goes to a book like that and just pulls a phrase out and pretends they have understanding of the book. But this is what we do with the Bible. Let me just pull a phrase out and pretend I have understanding of what this says. Well, that doesn't work with any book. I mean, I think about it with teaching and all that, but I will tell you, this is why we take off bigger chunks of the Bible usually in Sunday school, and I've tried to here with chapters, because you just can't do that. You just can't pick a verse and pretend you understand the whole thing. What does that lead to? It leads to not hearing what's being said. And what's the most important thing is you and I need to hear. We need to actually hear what's being said. We don't need to make up our own ideas about what's being said. I need to be humble and I need to listen. What is being said? What are you talking about? Mary understands that. She gets it. So she's listening. Second thing I notice, and I've tried to make these points quicker here, is just genuine curiosity. And that gets lost in sometimes our religion in that you approach the Bible with, I've already got most of it figured out. Really, the only things I'm going to learn are sort of nuanced things that don't really make any difference anyway. And so when I approach the Bible, I'm not listening for really anything that God's saying. I've already got my template. I'm just going to lay that over the Bible, and maybe we pick some interesting whatever things that kind of come out of that. That's not helpful. Mary is genuinely curious because she genuinely wants to know what the Lord's saying. I'm not trying to lay this template over God's words. I'm trying to hear what he's saying. Curiosity does a few things. It's a very interesting dynamic with the human condition here. Curiosity helps. It helps people survive. It's one of those things that helps you remain vigilant about things. I'm curious, therefore I'm paying attention now. Now I'm going to pay attention because I'm curious. So it helps you remain vigilant about something. You know what happens when you're not curious? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what's being. I've already got it figured out. I don't need to know it. Just whatever. Maybe I'll throw in a few nuanced ideas because I've already got it figured out. No, Mary's curious. It's curiosity. It helps us survive. Curious people, interestingly enough, I read some of these, just their studies of people. But curious people are generally just happier people. Learners. They want to learn. I just want to learn. Learning is fun. It's interesting. Curious people, and this is some research. Did you notice the difference between Martha and Mary? Mary's curious, and she's not as troubled as Martha is. Martha's more troubled about stuff, and again, maybe you side with Martha. I don't know where you fall on this. But Mary's just not as troubled about these things. What she's curious about is the words that are coming out of Jesus Christ's mouth. Curious people are generally happier people. Curiosity, it expands our empathy. You know, just talking about the human condition and people in general. You know, when you're curious about other people, you want to learn. Here's how most of, I've noticed, with communication, we are terrible at communication, generally. Most of the time we're having a conversation so that we can either compete with the person we're talking to. You know, we had this, you know, I went to the hospital and, you know, we had this and that. Oh, that's nothing. I went to two hospitals. Yeah. I broke my leg last week. Oh, it's nothing. I broke my back and my leg. And this is some of the communication. It's basically competition. What does that mean? Nobody's listening. I'm not concerned with what you're saying. I'm concerned with you knowing I have it harder than you. Or I'm concerned with you knowing that I'm a better person than you are. That's some of it. Sometimes we listen, and some of these forms of listening are needed. You're listening to solve a problem. You're just listening and somebody's talking about something and it's like, well, what you need to do is this. Well, sometimes there's a place for that, but not always. That's not every conversation. And that can be a skill, is pay attention to how you listen to people. Pay attention to how you communicate. Listening, curiosity. Curiosity is empathy. You may find out that you learned something from people that you may not have liked. And I guarantee you will. This is one of the, you know, you'll learn experiences, you'll learn views of life, you'll learn skills. Listening. Being curious, this is part of caring. This is expanding the empathy. You truly care for them? Have you tried to empathize? How about this? Turn that to the Lord. We talk about empathizing with each other. You ever tried to empathize with the Lord? What does he think about this? How does he respond to what I'm thinking and doing right now? Maybe make him the object of your empathy. Not that you can, not that you're going to add anything to him or anything like that. But what you're doing is you're trying to hear what he's saying. This is what Mary's doing. She's curious. Curiosity is a good trait to have. It strengthens relationships. That's another research, and there's studies on stuff like that. Point is, some of you approach the words of God like you've already got the major things figured out. The only thing you're actually ever going to learn is just a few little things here and there that aren't really life-changing things at all. And the fact is, the stuff you know about the Bible hasn't changed your life at all either. That's dangerous, because now we're just a bunch of Pharisees who have scriptures and are terrible people. Instead of in conversation, in listening, I'll give you a couple of thoughts, just real simple. How about you replace criticism? Instead of hearing someone talk to criticize or to think about all the reasons they're wrong, maybe replace criticism with curiosity. Why are you saying that? Why do you think that? Where does that come from? Maybe replace certainty with curiosity. I noticed there's a premium on certainty, particularly in religious circles. Boy, if you're not certain, if you don't, preach it with certainty, and you're just, that's sinful and hell-bound sinner, because you don't know. And by God, everybody that's Christian knows. Maybe you ought to replace that certainty with some curiosity. It'll be healthier for you. It'll be better for you. Mary's curious. You know why Mary's curious? She's humble. She doesn't have it all figured out, and she knows, I need to hear what he's saying. I don't need to hear the sound. I need to hear the heart. I need to pay attention to what he's actually saying here. And there had been that command all through the scriptures. Hear him, listen, listen. This is it. This is the seed. This is the promise. This is the man. Listen to him. Third is this. We'll end it on this one. There's an interesting dynamic that takes place with this transaction here. Mary's listening, and Jesus Christ classifies this as good. She's doing something good. She's doing something that's needed. Like, this is something you absolutely have to have in your life. And the Lord Jesus Christ says, she's chosen something that's not going to be taken away from her. It's a rewarded thing. Kind of like Jesus saying, you hear my words, you do them, all like in somebody built their house on a rock. It's not going to be taken away. It's stable. It's stabilized. What is that? That is God entrusting to Mary things that she's not entrusting to Martha. Martha, it should be as easy. Maybe she's just distracted. And we could probably preach on that's the problem. She's distracted by, in our minds, probably some justifiable distractions. I need to get this done. I need to get this done. But she's distracted. But when someone listens, put it this way, and you think about it with people you have relationships with. When you understand that you're being heard by somebody, you know what you do? You trust that person. If I understand that you're listening, then I trust you with more information. If I don't think you're listening, we're probably not going to have any communication, because I don't want to talk to you. There's no transaction. There's nothing happening here. But if you're listening, meaning you're understanding what I'm saying, and then there's some empathy with what I'm saying, same goes for you. If you think I'm listening and hearing what you're saying, you know what you'll do? you'll entrust a little bit more information to that person. You'll trust that person. And this is what Jesus says. Mary has chosen something that's not going to be taken away from her. What does that mean? That means that God is going to give Mary something, and she is. She's getting something. That God's going to trust Mary with something that he's giving her. And it's not going to be taken away. Why? Because she's paying attention. She's listening. There's an interesting illustration to this. I'll try to give it to you quickly here. There's a Muslim lady that did a little documentary. It might be on Amazon Prime. But her name is Dia Khan, and she took it upon herself to interview white supremacists. And, you know, I mean, their feelings toward Muslims, you know. And so she braved those waters and started interviewing these white supremacists, and without judgment, without criticizing, but just interviewing, and having them explain to her why they hate her, and having them explain to her why they believe what they believe. And without, she didn't judge, she wasn't criticizing, she's listening and documenting this. And sure enough, you know what happens over time? She gains their trust. They trust her. Why? Because she's listening. She's paying attention. And then you know what happens over a longer period of time? Some of them start to question their own ideas. Why do I hate this lady? Why do I want to treat her this way? And they start questioning their own ideas. All of that because of listening. Somebody listening. And I think it's a documentary, like I said, on Prime. But it's called White Right Meeting, something like that. White Right Meeting the Enemy, something like that. But she was listening. And many of them become introspective. They start thinking about, why am I doing this? Why am I acting this way? Why do I have these beliefs? Where did I get this from? And because she's just listening, and she provides this forum for them to speak and communicate, not in a critical way, but just listen. And that has the effect of causing people to evaluate their own ideas. You know, in a small way that happens with us. If you know someone's paying attention to your words, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pay attention to your words. If you know someone's paying attention to every little thing you say, you know what you're going to do? You're going to pay attention to it. And you might even think about what you're saying. And then where do I get these ideas? Why am I saying what I'm saying? The point was, over time, in this documentary, over time, trust is built with somebody who's listening. And I say the Lord works the same way. Trust is built if you're listening. If you show the Lord you're listening, well, you know what you're going to learn? More stuff. You know how your life is going to be more filled with the Spirit of God? Probably be a happier person, more joyful, more peace, more regulated, more just a generally better life. As good as it can be in this time, anyway. Trust is given to the one who's listening. You know, people aren't likely... Interesting, but people aren't likely to change when they're told they need to change. But when people are heard and they're free to think through what they're thinking, a lot of times that's the change that's needed. You need to reflect on your own ideas. You need to think about how you approach the Bible. You need to think about, when's the last time I ever heard God speak about anything? When's the last time God spoke and it actually affected my life? Because I'm sure if the Creator spoke, it would have some effect on my life. Truth is, trust is given to those who listen. and the Lord will give you more if you listen to him. That's what he says about Mary. She's chosen the good part. She's chosen the needful thing, and it's not going to be taken away from her. This is a blessing forever. Mary chose that good part that won't be taken away from her. So what is the art of listening? Maybe you could say it's just distraction. You can get the distractions out of the way. There's probably something to that. I think it goes a little bit deeper. Listening, you're trying to understand what's being said, and there's some curiosity that needs to be there. I need to be genuinely curious about this. And then there needs to be some, or there will be some trust that's exchanged over that. And so all that said, it applies to, it's so neat how it all applies, but it applies to your relationship to the Lord. It applies to your relationship to people. It's just a principle that is true. It's just reality. It's just the way God set it up. First, you need to hear Jesus Christ. That's the thing. But what you'll find out is he's going to tell you, now go listen to them. Now go pay attention. Hear what they're saying. Communicate. Learn to communicate. Learn to listen. So take that for what you can take it for. Learn what you can from it. Mary is sitting at Jesus' feet. But it's not that she's sitting at Jesus' feet. The phrase is, she heard his words. She's listening. And that's what we need. People who will listen. People who will pay attention to God, to the words of the Lord. People will pay attention to each other. This is a skill that's needed. It's not just the act of hearing. It's the art of listening. And Mary's got it. She's got it. And so, first and foremost, listen to the words of God. Think about how that relates in your life and listening to God's words. So, that said, I hope that's helpful. Covered a lot of ground this morning, but a very specific thing that we're covering. Listening. Learn to listen. Learn to listen to the Lord. Learn to listen to people. Listen. Ben, you got anything? We'll sing a song. Pray and be dismissed and start to listen as we leave.
261, Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus, page 261. We'll sing the first and the third verse, page 261. O soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's light for a look at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus.